But I'll open us up with prayer, and then you'll welcome Teddy. All right, so let's pray. So, Father, again, thank you for a beautiful afternoon. And beautiful in the sense of just the weather and just the time to be outside for a few moments at lunch, but also beautiful for what's happening inside and the way your spirit is moving and working and calling us to you, as well as calling us out to serve you. And so I pray that during this time, Father, you would just bless this, anoint this, energize this time, so that as we engage in and understand in the aspect of worship, how, Father, that moves us to your heart and engages us with you. So bless Teddy and the crew as they share with us, activate their gifts and experience, and, Father, we'll give you the praise and glory for that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you welcome Teddy?
Well, hey, everybody. As Tim said, my name is Teddy Johnson, and I am so honored and blessed to be here with you guys today. Thank you for joining us, and I am also just so incredibly blessed to have an amazing worship team that's here with me, and I'd just like to take a moment and introduce them to you. They have been leading us in worship throughout this gathering. And so as I call your name, guys, I just want you to just stand and turn around and just wave so they can see your face, all right? So I'm going to start with Roberto Bruno right here. Roberto, would you stand? Roberto is from the San Francisco Bay Area at Resonate Church, and this is his first time actually joining us in the team, and so we're so blessed to have Roberto with us. We have Miss Kaylee Malcolm, the best female drummer on the planet. I know you love her as much as we do, and Kaylee has been with us for a long time at Hope Church in Las Vegas. Then we also have Miss Hannah Gracia. Gracia! Hannah, for those of you that don't know, is Vance Pittman's oldest child, and she has been leading with us since she was just a little girl, and it has been such a blessing just watching her grow and develop into the incredible worship leader that she is. And I have no idea where this guy disappears all the time. Oh, there he is. All right. David Rogers, would you stand up, please? Our amazing keyboard player, who has been with me longer than anybody on the team. For 24 years, this man has been playing with me and putting up with me, and I'm so grateful that we've been able to stick together, which is what he's going to talk about all of these years. And then last but certainly not least is my baby cousin, who I am so proud of, and I'm so grateful that he was able to carve out in his schedule to come and hang out with us. This is Thaddeus Trebet. And he's our bass player and worship leader and an incredible pastor and leader and preacher and all of that. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you all for being here. And I pray that we are able to just spend a little time just talking about worship development. That is my title with the North American Mission Board, the Director of Worship Development. And so we're just going to spend a little bit of time just talking about what that is and what that should look like and how that should impact our ministries and our churches throughout the SEND network. As I said, I've been at Hope Church for 19 years, and I just recently transitioned into this role with the North American Mission Board. And so basically, my role is to provide support to you guys, to our church planters, to your teams in the area of worship development. So in this breakout, we desire to take church planters on a journey that begins with this question. And here is the question. How can my church planting team establish and sustain a healthy culture of worship? We hope to answer this question with four intentional steps that you and your team can take to lay a strong foundation that we believe will result in your church establishing and sustaining a healthy worship culture. These four intentions reemphasize SEND Network's core values. So I'd like to begin our time together by reviewing the five core values of the Send Network. You've heard these so many times, but I think it's really important that they kind of just get into your heart as you are planning churches, as you are continuing to grow your churches, and to understand and really embrace what our network of churches is really all about and what our values are. And so I'd like for us to read them together out loud, our Send Network core values. The first one is, let's read it together. Seek first the kingdom. God is at work locally and globally. Let's read the next one. Deepen devotion. Without prayer and the word, we are powerless. Stick together. We are a family united by a mission. Think multiplication. God's global mission demands disciples and churches that multiply. Engage your city. The gospel changes lives, families, and communities. We desire to see evidence of all of these core values increasingly expressed throughout our network as church planters aim to realize the following intentions. And I'm going to give you four intentions today that I hope will answer or at least begin a journey of answering that question that we started with. Intention number one is this: embrace my primary role as a discipler and not a song leader. In Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." I know we've got a lot of senior pastors in the room and maybe a few worship pastors, but it's important for senior pastors, worship leaders, music directors, creative directors to all know that the primary role of these key leaders is not merely selecting the right song or executing the most innovative weekend experience that you possibly can. The primary role of every leader who is responsible for establishing and maintaining a healthy worship culture is discipleship. When the worship leader's role is reduced to that of a song leader, their priorities are primarily centered around weekend planning and song selection. Providing serving opportunities for volunteers is not our ultimate goal. Our top priority and biblical mandate as pastors and leaders is to make disciples. God's global mission demands disciples and churches that multiply. Our value, think multiplication, is significant because it emphasizes the importance of making disciples who then make more disciples. Intention number two is this: exemplify worship as a lifestyle. Church leadership and staff must be inspired to exemplify worship as a lifestyle that transcends the acts of worship rendered in church gatherings. Let's look at this next slide. This is really key. Genuine worship leaders lead public worship gatherings out of the overflow of private worship experiences born out of a life of intimacy with the Father. The greatest preparation that we have for corporate worship is private worship. The greatest preparation that we have for gathering with the body of Christ and engaging in worship together is ensuring that we are living lives of worship so that Monday through Saturday, we are aware of the presence of God in such a powerful way in our lives that when we come together as the body of Christ, what is happening is that we are experiencing an overflow of what we've been walking through with God all throughout the course of the week. Pastor Vance always says this: the primary call on our lives is not ministry. That's what we think. We get so busy, we get so caught up in the routine and the rhythms and the responsibilities and the goals and the tasks. But the primary call on our lives is not ministry. The primary call is intimacy. And ministry is what God does out of the overflow of intimacy with Him. So at Hope Church, we believe this. We don't pray before we work. Prayer is the work, and then God works. Worship leaders, let's look at this next slide. Worship leaders should purposely open doors for disciples to deepen devotion and never be inclined to provide platforms for position or performance. This idea comes from our Send Network core value, deepen devotion. Without prayer and the word, we are powerless. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to invite a little bit of classroom participation here. If you'd like to share your answer, we're not going to pass the mic around, but I would ask that you would just stand up and project your voice as loud as you can toward the center of the room so that everyone can hear you. And here is my question. What is worship? Okay, there are no wrong answers, just varying perspectives. But would someone be willing to be the first one to take a stab at answering this question? No wrong answers, just based on your experience, based on your understanding, what is worship? Yes.
Glorifying God.
Good. Yes. Amen. Living a life that gives glory to the Father. Yes. Recognizing and responding to the worth and value of something or someone.
Intimacy
with God. Okay. Any others? Say it again. Giving our heart to God. Yes. Idolizing. Ooh. Ooh, yes. A lifestyle. One more. Yes. Focused reverence. Did I see another hand somewhere? Okay. Focused reverence. Okay, good. All great answers. All great answers. There's an author by the name of James Gills who wrote a book called The Dynamics of Worship. And in this book, he said that worship means to practice the presence of God in everything we do, every time we do it. And that quote reminds me of a book called The Practice of the Presence of God, which is a collection of letters and conversations between Joseph de Beaufort and Nicholas Herman, better known as Brother Lawrence. And from those two books, I arrived at my own personal definition of worship, which is this. Worship is practicing God's presence everywhere, all the time. I'll say that again. Worship is practicing God's presence everywhere, all the time. Psalm 34 says this. I will bless the Lord when? At all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. That means to express joy again and again, to joy and rejoy in the Lord at all times, in the good times, in bad times, in sickness and in health, whatever you're going through, whatever the experiences may be, we are to express joy and to rejoy or rejoice in the Lord at all times, always. Also, that means that we should bless the Lord in all places, rejoicing at all times, blessing the Lord again and again at all times also implies that we should bless the Lord in all places, everywhere we go. The truth is, if I can't worship in the supermarket, I can't worship in the sanctuary. If I can't worship in the kitchen, I can't worship in the choir. If we are truly and authentically worshiping in spirit and in truth, and if a lifestyle of worship is practicing God's presence everywhere, all the time, then we can't truly worship anywhere until we've learned to worship everywhere. Now, does that mean that I'm going to be going shopping, Walmart or Sam's or wherever I go, and in the middle of aisle three, I'm going to start breaking out into this joyous song? Probably not. I mean, it could. I've done that before. But probably not for most people, right? But it does mean that I am to be intentional about honoring the omnipresence of God, recognizing that He is with me at all times, and allowing every step I take, every move I make, every thought I think, and every conversation I have to bring glory to Him. And I am to present my entire life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for this is my spiritual act of worship. The Bible says that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That means that I am, I like to say it this way, a portable sanctuary. And if I'm practicing God's presence everywhere, all the time, that means that I understand that my sanctuary is with me everywhere I go. We can't truly worship anywhere until we've learned to worship everywhere, because we are called to a life of worship. And we must therefore be intentional about pursuing and exemplifying worship as a lifestyle. Intention number three, take advantage of the support, training, and resources made available through our network. We exist to support you. Worship development is a part of Send Network's culture and care team. So this intention is key because we are here to provide care, encouragement, support, and resources to our pastors, worship leaders, musicians, volunteer worship team members, and anyone who plays a part in shaping the worship culture of your church. First and most importantly, we desire to support the senior pastor and the worship leader in cultivating a harmonious relationship so that you become a cohesive unit. The worship leader, and this is key, if you're a worship leader in the room, you have to embrace the pastor's role as the chief shepherd of the overall worship experience. At the same time, pastors, it is so vital, so important for you to empower your worship leader to edify the body through the engagement of multiple expressions of worship that align with the vision, advance the mission, and reflect the values of the church. The health or the unhealth of the relationship between the senior pastor and the worship leader, and whether or not you stick together, will directly impact the worship culture of the church. These healthy relationships illustrate our core values, stick together, because we are a family united by a mission. Let's look at that intention again. It's still up there. It says, take advantage of the support, training, and resources made available through our network. So in addition to support, which I just talked a little bit about, we want to encourage church planting teams to take advantage of the wide variety of training opportunities and resources that are available to you. And we will introduce a couple of them to you today. In my observation, over the years, I've been in full-time ministry now for 23 years. And over those years, in my observation, too many church planting pastors have set themselves up for failure by underestimating the importance of identifying, equipping, and empowering key leaders in the very beginning stages of the church planning process, especially when the church planning team is missing key leaders assigned to the ministry of worship. I am convinced, and I got some shocked responses when we talked about this before. Some of you may not agree with this, but I'm convinced that every church planning team should include at least one person assigned to the ministry of worship. And get this, these team members or this team member does not need to be a worship leader, a musician, or even a singer. Think about this. Our entire conversation today is all about establishing and sustaining a healthy worship culture. Yet not one of the objectives or strategies that we've discussed so far have anything to do with musical skill or experience. Here's why. Because building a healthy culture of transforming worship does not require musical competency, because worship is more than a song. As part of our worship development strategy, we want to equip the church planting team with resources and support that will enable you to be successful at laying a strong foundation that will ultimately shape the worship culture of your church. And this is very possible with a mature and capable leader, regardless of their musical competencies or lack thereof. The final thing we want to say about this third intention, if we could go to that third intention again. Yes. The final thing we want to say is that we are working diligently to offer our network of churches a variety of resources to provide additional support toward the development of worship culture. First of all, we want to partner with our host churches in every Send Network region to offer regional worship seminars in order to provide hands-on training, to build relationships and have more in-depth conversations about all of these intentions and initiatives that we're sharing with you today. We want to come into your regions. We would love to be able to work with your teams and work with your leaders and even connect with the pastors and build relationships and just to provide support to see what your needs are and see how we can help you move forward in the area of worship development. A second resource that I'm super excited about and personally I'm most invested in will evolve through the establishment of what I believe will be, has the potential to be, a revolutionary worship movement. Next month, we are hosting our very first songwriting retreat to bring worship leaders and musicians together to collaborate in the composition of powerfully anointed worship songs that are God-glorifying, theologically accurate, doctrinally sound. We dream of a day when our churches will no longer have to depend on Bethel, Hillsong, Elevation, or any artist in the Christian music industry to govern our doxology, because we will be producing an exciting new brand of original Christian music for our network, highlighting the diverse musical gifts from within our network. And I'm so excited about that. There's such an excitement already that is building for this wonderful retreat that we're planning. We've got worship leaders, songwriters, musicians from the East Coast, from the West Coast, from all over North America that are coming to be a part of this. And we are so just excited about the opportunities and the potential for what God is going to accomplish through us for our network. Worship ministry training is one of the most in-depth, it's another incredible resource, and it's one of the most in-depth and affordable online training platforms for worship leaders that I'm aware of. Over 1,400 worship leaders are utilizing the abundance of courses and training opportunities provided by this ministry to enhance their church worship culture. And this is an organization that was started by a friend, Alex Enfiegian, who we've been sort of developing a partnership with. And this is a resource that we want to make available to you. There is a cost to this resource, but we are hoping to include it in at some point in your benefits as church planners, as a part of your package, so that you can receive it at either a discounted rate or even for free. And so we're looking at some of those opportunities, but it is a resource that you can actually check out today. And Alex, in speaking with him in preparation for this breakout, has offered an incredible deal that I'm going to share with you before we leave today, if you want to immediately jump in and start utilizing this resource. The final resource we're going to share with you is called the Worship Initiative. The Worship Initiative is designed to equip worship teams to lead with excellence. It provides unique learning paths to develop your craft while learning top worship songs for every instrument. So if you're musicians, and this is also available with the worship leader training as well, worship ministry training, but if you are struggling, if you have a musician that's struggling to learn a part, you can use both of these resources to actually, as a tutorial. If you're a guitar player and you need to learn a song, or you're a keyboard player, you need to learn a particular song that you're about to do in your church and you can't figure it out, or you can't hear all of the chords or the notes in the recording, then there are tutorials with both of these resources that will enable your instrumentalist to go on and actually learn part by part, chord by chord, all of the notes, everything that they will need to know to successfully play the song in your worship service. So these are just a few of the resources that we are building partnerships with to offer to you to help you move forward in the area of worship development. Our final intention is this. Number four, implement strategies that enhance diversity and encourage multiple expressions of worship. With the invitation to engage the city comes the responsibility of learning to apply the gospel in ways that transcend culture. By the year 2044, demographers project that there will be no majority race in America. And Pastor Brian even spoke about that this morning. This country will become a majority, minority, plural nation made up of innumerable combinations of racial and ethnic groups. All sorts of people will need to be reached. So one of the primary heartbeats behind our strategy here with the North American Mission Board for our Send Network churches is this: to help churches get back to the gospel and eradicate this Americanized version of Christian worship that has led to our Sunday morning times together becoming some of the most segregated hours of the week. We can do this in part by intentionally incorporating into our worship sets an eclectic mix of musical genres that reinforce cultural diversity. When Brian Lewis was mentioning this morning, one of the things he talked about was Paul Bear Bryant's determination to win in 1969 by desegregating Alabama football, as well as Paul the Apostle's determination to win all people for Christ. In our context, we win when multiple expressions of biblical worship are demonstrated by a congregation whose demographic adequately reflects the diversity of its community. We must also explore creative ways to incorporate multiple generations at every level of artistic engagement and leadership. This final intention accentuates two of our Send Network values: engage your city and seek first the kingdom. When we engage the city, the gospel changes lives, families, and communities. So we must be intentional to seek first the kingdom, because God is at work locally and globally. So the question was, how can my church planting team establish and sustain a healthy culture of worship? Four ways that we talked about. I can be intentional about embracing my primary role as a discipler and not a song leader. I can be intentional about exemplifying worship as a lifestyle. I can be intentional about taking advantage of the support, training, and resources made available through our network. And I can be intentional about implementing strategies that enhance diversity and encourage multiple expressions of worship. And so I'm going to invite our team to come up here, our worship team, if you guys would come up here and join me. And we're going to do a little kind of panel. I'm going to ask them a few questions, give you an opportunity to hear from them. And then if there's time at the end, we will do a little bit of a Q&A and allow you guys to ask some questions that you may have, that you may be wrestling with. So where's that? Okay, you've got the mic. Okay, good. So, yeah, good, because this first question is for you, Hannah Bear. So
wonderful.
One of our core values with the Send Network is think multiplication. God's global mission demands disciples and churches that multiply. And our Hannah Bear, thank you for moving that, Thaddeus. Hannah Bear is about to, I call her Hannah Bear, I'm sorry if that embarrasses you publicly, but she's my Hannah Bear. Yeah. So Hannah Bear is about to actually, she actually just launched 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago, their first launch weekend. She and her husband Christian planted a new church in Las Vegas, and so the question, praise the Lord.
King City Church.
So my question, and I'd like Hannah to be the first one to answer this, and then if others would like to chime in, that would be fine. The question is, how has discipleship impacted your development as a worship leader, and how do you intend to prioritize discipleship with your church planting team?
Yeah, I think, like Teddy already mentioned, our own personal walk with Jesus is the primary and most important thing as worship leaders, musicians. I think it's so easy to lose sight of that. But truly, everything that happens on stage should be an overflow of what is happening in our own hearts and our own walk with the Lord. And I think it can be easy to get in so involved in ministry that we can get unplugged from just being a part of the church. Like, be in community with other people who know you and who can walk with you. I think it's easy to shy away from that. And so I think having people in your life that you are doing life with and walking through life with is one really big part of discipleship. And I think also something I thought of as Teddy was talking, people who serve in worship ministry, you are in the spotlight so often. I think if you can find a way to serve apart from that, that is not in the spotlight, can be really good for your soul. Really, it can, without even realizing it, I think you can get addicted in a sense to people saying, good job, you sounded great, whatever. And so I think if you can find ways to serve that are not in the spotlight, I think that is something that can be really helpful. And then as far as us planting, I think regularly checking in and talking and having conversations with our team members who are serving on the worship team and not being so focused on the product of Sunday morning, the worship experience, that we are not discipling the people who are right in front of us. I think it's easy to just be so focused on planning center and who we have filling in slots, and you can just get in that weekly rhythm without having conversations with people, making sure, hey, how's your walk with Jesus? What are you struggling with? What are you walking through? Do you have people in your life? If it's not us, who are you walking with through life? And it's because I know it's easy to get caught up in the technicalities of things, but Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Not a great worship set, not great singers, great musicians. We have to keep people and their hearts the focus.
You guys want to add anything to that? Okay. All right. Well, my next question is this. What is a worship leader? Are church musicians also worship leaders? And why, okay, my next questions. And why is intimacy with God so significant in the daily life of a worship leader? And Kaylee's going to be the first one to attempt to answer this question. These questions.
Okay. I'm not, they usually don't give me a microphone. So you'll find out why. So the short answer is yes. The musicians are definitely worship leaders. But before I dive into that, Hannah kind of stepped on what I was going to say, but it's kind of rude, but, the time that you have alone with God and knowing that you are God dependent has to come first before you can go on stage and let everybody else know that, right? Ministry and serving is so high up on our priority list that sometimes we forget, hey, time alone with the Father is actually more important, right? So, like, I'm so glad for Mary and Martha in the Bible where Martha's like, hey, Jesus, like, my sister literally is not helping and I'm doing this alone. And he's like, drop the deviled eggs and come hang out with me. I don't need you to serve me. I need you to be with me right now. So I think it's important that we ask ourselves that, whether you are on staff or a volunteer, is ministry taking a priority over your heart with the Lord and over the things of God? And so when I realized that, when I realized that first I'm a daughter of the King and I am a worship leader, then I can, you know, truly, the word, you guys know. I can truly worship. We're going to go with worship. I'll think of it later. I'll tell you guys. But essentially, my time alone with the Lord helps me to worship, right? So I don't care if you have a microphone. A lot of times we call worship leaders the person that's leading a song on a microphone. I don't care if you have a microphone or not. If you are producing in some way worship, you are a worship leader. So one of my best friends, she does the switching of the producing and stuff in the back. Nobody sees her. She's legitimately worshiping. I've seen her do it. Yes. It doesn't matter if you're back there, if you're on the drum set, you know, if you are on stage legitimately leading a song, whether it's from an instrument or from your voice, you're a worship leader. And it's important that the main thing is Jesus in your life and not your instrument. So, because if it is, then you're just performing and you're not worshiping anymore. And for me, there's just a lot of better drummers that can perform better than me that they could ask to do this, right? But we want to make sure that the heart behind the person is there for the right reason.
Amen. And Kaylee was asked that question because she has just truly articulated who we know her to be. And so that's why I posed that question for her, because her heart is always that. And she always says, I know I'm not the best drummer. I don't know why you always ask us to do this, but we love who she is as a worshiper and as a worship leader. And that's why we always ask her to be a part of this. Anybody want to add to that? Any of you guys? Anything she said you want to add? Okay, I'm moving on to the next question. All right. Next question is this. How does the relational dynamic between the senior pastor and the worship team directly impact the worship culture of the church? And what is one practical way to strengthen that dynamic? And I want David to go first on this question.
I'm also another one they don't ever give a mic to, and that's for good reason. For the dynamic between a lead pastor and the worship team, I've seen this be a failure point more often than not, because of multiple reasons, but one of those larger reasons is that many pastors do feel like the worship team is there to serve them and not God. And the worship team sees the pastor more like a boss and not a spiritual head or someone who's a shepherd or someone who's spiritually leading them. So in that dynamic, you have sort of a power struggle that if left unchecked could render the worship in that church powerless. And it's something that I'm so blessed. I come from Hope Church. Like Teddy said, I've been with him since before he was at Hope, but for most of his tenure at Hope. And one of the blessings of having a worship pastor such as him is, just like Hannah said, before he ever checked on my performance, he always checked on how I was. He always spoke in, he always made sure to come speak into my life. And he pushed past sort of like my own walls I put up to say, like, well, I just really just want to be a musician. I don't really want to engage. He was adamant about pushing past those things and calling at 3 a.m. when he should not be up. Hey, man, like if you all, I don't know how many of you all know Teddy Johnson personally, but yeah, you're going to get that, hey, man. But it was always, the music was secondary to what was going on in my life. And he was able to make decisions around what was going on in my heart that benefited the whole team, that the whole team didn't need to see. The whole team didn't need to know what was going on with me, but he was able to make decisions that outwardly might seem like, well, why would he decide that? Why would he? Because of relationship. One thing Pastor Vance always says, and this has been stamped home at church, like following Jesus is all about relationships. And I've seen so many situations in churches where, like, musicians are hirelings, and they're not part of the church. And I think that's something we have to be very cognizant about.
That's good. You can hand it to Roberto, because he's going to be answering this next question, unless somebody has something they want to add to what he just said. All right. Next question is this for Roberto. Does the demographic of your congregation adequately reflect the diversity of the community where your church is planted? And how does your worship ministry influence and serve that demographic?
Yeah, it's great. So I'm originally from where the nations go to visit. I'm from Orlando, and was born, raised there, only moved to the San Francisco Bay Area 3 years ago in August, and I went because that's where the nations go to live. In reality, everyone in America flees from California, especially 3 years ago. A lot of people were leaving California, and I was one of the few with my wife and 4 little children who took a road trip from Orlando all the way to the Bay Area, and what drew me there was the culture of development that Resonate Church has. And my pastor, his name is Ryan Kwan, and one of the first questions he asked me is like, hey, Roberto, what do you do this for? Like, what do you want in a worship culture of a church? And I said, man, I just want to disciple people. Because, you see, I was in a very entertainment-driven culture in Orlando. And my role, much like what Teddy was just talking about, it fluctuated into this thing of like becoming the song leader person. I equated it to being like a monkey with the cymbals. You ever seen that in Toy Story 3? Maybe it's 2. Maybe I don't know, one of those. Where that was what my role became. And man, like, God just gave me a burden for developing others. And so God led us there. And I'll tell you what, the Bay Area of California is riddled with engineers, Silicon Valley kind of people. Bay Area of California is where like the startups are. So if you go to San Francisco, you just see headquarters and headquarters of all these like major, tech companies. And our church looks like that. Mm. Our church is primarily really smart people, way smarter than I am, just geniuses, all of them. And we have 5 campuses right now, and they each look different, Teddy. They're each, culturally different, because we have a campus in Fremont, which is primarily like an Asian white demographic. And then, you could look at our Oakland campus, and it's more Black and Latino. And so all of that even how we, figure out our song selections and all of that, it all is based on, how can we best serve our communities together as a body? And so, yeah, I would say so. Yeah, did I answer the
yes.
question?
Yes. Yes, you did. Cool. You did. Good. Good, good, good. Anybody want to add anything? All right, last question goes to the preacher. So we might have to slow him down, because he can go now. He might stand up. He might be at the last aisle by the time he gets halfway through what he wants to say. He might touch you. He might prophesy to you. Just be prepared. I don't know what might come out of this man. But Thad's question is this. How does the culture of worship we embrace in our local church connect to the big picture of God's kingdom activity in a global context?
Open your Bibles real quick. Open your Bible. Everybody stand
shut up.
Up.
And why is that connection so important?
Okay, read the first part again. I had my joke
all right,
in my
right,
mind
right,
that I missed.
How does the culture of worship we embrace in our local church context connect to the big picture of God's kingdom activity in a global context?
I have the longest question, and that's just the first part.
Why did you give me the longest?
First and foremost, my name is Thaddeus Tribbett, and I'm extremely excited and just happy to be a part of Send Network and be here to meet all these beautiful people. Talking to my man right here, we were sitting next to each other in church yesterday. Everybody in here, you are beautiful. You are wonderful. I'm so glad that we're all meeting, and we're family. We're brother. We're sister. Yeah. I thought that was a clapping moment. I'm going to clap by myself. We are many members but one body, and it's a blessing to be united. I think that there's a power in unity. So back to the question, the extremely long question that you gave me. The importance of the cultural sound of the kingdom in our churches. Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what you're saying, right?
Take it in that context. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
The I think that, honestly, it's not fair, but we've been talking about it all here, and maybe that's what God wants us to hear as church planners, as worship leaders, or whatever we are. I just keep hearing the posture of our heart. She talked about, I was about to jump up and smack you. You was talking so good, Katie. She was saying, I'm not the best drummer, but I'm this, I'm that. I'm like, it hit me so hard, because God doesn't need the best preacher, drummer, leader, singer. He needs the right ones. David couldn't fit Saul's armor. Saul was tall. He was handsome. Stand up. You way taller than me. See that? You more like Saul and Goliath. He was the right type of guy. He had the fit. He had the look. He was, the people saw him, and they were like, yeah, this is what we need. And God was like, no, that's what we need. And I really feel like, wow, as it pertains to the sound and what we're doing, that we really should make sure that we pay attention to the posture of our heart as leaders. I love information. I love logistics. I love everything that we're learning. But at the same end, what are we doing with it? Mm. I think, and I hear, I'm not going to stray too far from it, but you gave me the microphone. You shouldn't have done that. I'm a follower of spirit just a little bit. I feel like it's important for us as leaders, and I feel it in this room, from myself to you to everyone here, that it's important to be to find your water. We're planting, we're talking about church planting, we're talking about building teams. I want us to be able to find our water. Anything that's planted needs water, sunlight, and also what you were saying about living in Florida, to be hidden. I know, I'm gonna make sense with it. Trust me, it's gonna make sense with music, it is. But the thing about it is, God doesn't need, again, the most popular song. He just needs that right person to sing it. You could be a horrible singer, but if you're singing that right song, it's going to draw them. What draws people? What draws people? Passion? What else? Holy Spirit? Yes. That's what's, yes. The Bible says if I be lifted up, I'll draw all albums unto me. No. I'll draw all men unto me. So I think that the importance of the sound for the community and for the culture is the heart of it, and we've all been touching on it. That's why I said it's not fair, because we're talking about our leaders.
Timekeeper's giving us the signal, so.
Who's giving it? Who's
it? It's two of them. It's two of them?
It's because I'm black. You did that last time. You said as soon as the black guy, he always go over time. I'm just kidding. That's my brother. We joke around all the time. I'm going to be quiet, but again, I feel like that what's needed to be said now is the posture of our heart and why we do. Pastor Vance talked yesterday about Paul and how he became all things for all men. Mm-hmm. What are you willing to sacrifice of yourself to be able to reach your community? Mm-hmm. What are you willing to sacrifice? This, you know, I'm not really crazy about this type of piano player, but he's the right guy. I'm not crazy about this servant, but they're the right person. Just impart in them. You're the leader. Impart in them and watch them grow. That's it.
Amen. That's all right. That's all right. So before we ask him to come back up and close, I'm going to ask everybody if you could just take out your cell phones, and we're going to put a QR code up on the screen, and I would like for you to scan that QR code, and some questions are going to come up. Alex Nvngn, who is the creator of Worship Ministry Training, has offered for everyone in the room who fills out the survey today. It's a really brief survey, just about our time together. For everyone that fills it out, he is offering 6 months of worship ministry training at a 50% discount if you complete and submit the survey today. I won't even say what I'm getting ready to say. Well, I'll go ahead and say it. The first person to submit the survey will actually get it for free for 6 months. But everyone in the room, whether you're first or not, will get it 50% off for 6 months, worship ministry training. And so we are so grateful that you chose to be with us today. Thank you, guys. We hope this was helpful for you. And we're just going to stay up here, and if you want to just come up and ask us some questions, we actually have to be in a production meeting in 5 minutes. So come quick if you have a question for us. And yes, after the main session, please feel free to come up and talk to us. We'll be there. We'll hang around. We would love to engage in conversation with you. Thank you guys so much. God bless you.
Yes, give them a hand for their contribution. No, I hope that there were so many great takeaways for us today, primarily that, be intentional about creating your worship culture. It's not the warm-up to the sermon. It's more than music. So just be intentional about creating the worship culture. And what I'm most excited about is the intentionality that they're going to bring to our network. And so let's look forward to the days ahead of how we are continuing to drive this value of deep in devotion before the Father and in our network to glorify Him. So I'm going to pray for us, then we'll be dismissed. You've got a little bit of a break time before the next session, and then enjoy. All right, so let's pray. Father, thank you again for the capacity that you give to us to be able to worship you. You are worthy of worship. And I pray that today we have been reminded of the awesomeness of who you are that calls us to want to glorify you. And more than just through music and singing and even playing, Father, through a lifestyle that we worship you everywhere we go is an act of worship to you. And how we respond to life is an act of worship to you. So I'm so grateful for what you're doing in and amongst our network and in amongst our churches. I pray that you would continue to do that for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.